Okay, we're up to Perek Gimel in Megillas Esther, and Haman comes onto the scene. We know the stage has been set, Vashti is out, Esther is in. Achashveros appoints Haman as the chief advisor above all the other sarim in this Perek, and everybody bows down to him. Maybe bows down to him, mitzah, that he's the servant of the king, the highest in line, or just because that's what he did. But either way, he made it into law. And of course, we know that Mordechai did not bow down. He was told, and Haman gets very upset. He doesn't want to just take care of Mordechai. He wants to take care of Mordechai's nation, the entire Jewish people. So he says he has a plan to destroy men, women, and children, the entire Jewish people. How does he know which day to choose to do it? So he makes a go roll. He makes a go roll. He makes a lottery. And it comes out almost a year later, because this story takes place in Nisan. And the lottery comes out that the Jews should be destroyed on the 13th of Adar, almost a year later. And Haman then goes to Achashverosh and says, there's an Am, Mefuzar, Mefurad, there's an Am, they're so different that it's not worth it for you to keep them. I'll give you 10,000 silver pieces, and please let me destroy them. The king takes off his ring, gives it to Haman, and the king says, you can keep the money and do whatever you want. And that's what happens. Then he decides that it's going to be in a couple of, almost a year. He sends out letters to all the different countries with the signet of the king, and the Jews all over, specifically in Shushan, are nevocha, are confused, are mourning, and this is now the state of affairs that is going on. Okay, so here we go. Achar hadvarim ha'ela. After these things. What are these things? Right after what happened at the end of the previous parak, big son and Sarah. So Rashi quotes the Gemara, Shenivres refuazu lios tshua lemordechai. Right? Hashem makes the refua before the makkah. He already planted that Mordechai is going to be in the Sefer HaZichronos before Haman comes onto the scene. Before anything happens, that's the Gemara. Amar Eish Lakish, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makkah, Yisrael Elam, Kim Bori Lam Refua Tchila. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Hosea, Ki Rafi Li Yisrael V'Nigla Avon Ephraim. Ava Umos HaOlam Eino Kein. Makeh Usan V'Yachar Kach Bori Lam Refua. Umos HaOlam, Hashem first hits them, and then gives them a refua. Shenemar, V'Nagaf Hashem Es Mitzrayim Nagof. First the Nagof, the Rafo, and then he heals them. What's the difference? Lamaisa, Hashem heals them anyway. So what's the difference between making the Rafua first and making the Rafua second? So explain the Mefarshim. You look in the Mishpat Zohav and the others that Hakdamas Rafua Mara al Godel Ha'ahava Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael V'da'agas Olehem. The fact that you make the Rafua first shows that the whole purpose of the Makkah is not for a Makkah. Right? You make the Rafua first. Right, it's all about the teaching us. It's all about purifying us, and that's what's reflected by making refuah before the makkah. So, it's not 100% clear why Achashverosh did it. Maybe Haman was working on him and finally got promoted. Ha'agagi, I know from Agag, from Amalek, that's his line, Vayinaseyu, and he promoted him and lifted him up. Vayasem es kiso, me'al kolat sarim asherito, his kise, his position, was above all the other sarim, right, all the other sarim, according to some commentaries, Memuchan, earlier was Haman, why was his name changed? Suggest the time of the crow, because just like we know, Yosef's name was changed when he was promoted, Safras Paneach, and Daniel, Chananim Shel Vazariah, we learned in Sefer Daniel, they all have got to receive the new names, so he also received the new name, the Cholav de Amelach, Asher B'Shar Amelach, all the rule was, if you're an Eved Amelach, in the Shar Amelach, Karim, Umishtachavim, Lahaman, you have to bow down to Haman, because that's what the king said. It wasn't just Haman, but Haman convinced the king to make a law that everybody has to bow down to him. And the Rashi quotes, and different Mefarshim, talk about why did they have to bow down. Rashi, Shah Asa Atzmo Eloah. He made himself into a god. The Eben Ezra quotes others that he had a god. He had a little idol hanging on a necklace. That's what the Esther Rabba. Tzura Selam Avodah Zorah Hayu B'God of O Al Mitznafto. There's a huge discussion in the Mefarshim, in the postgame, in the Rishonim already. Was this a real Avodah Zorah or not? Right, similar discussion by Nebuchadnezzar. Because, Miman of Shach, everybody else bowed down. But, as the pasuk continues, U'Mordechai Lo Yichrav Al Yishtachaveh. Mordechai wouldn't. Lo yichra, not only lo karav, lo hishtachav, it's future. He never will. Lo yichra, lo hishtachav, he never had plans to bow down. So was it a real Avodah Zarah? Then how all of Am Yisrael, they fell prey? And if it wasn't Avodah Zarah, then how did Mordechai do it? Right? How did Mordechai do it and not bow down and then put all of Am Yisrael into danger? Vayomer Avdei HaMelech, Asher B'Shar HaMelech, le Mordechai. All the Avdei HaMelech said to Mordechai, Matu Ata Overeth, Mitzvos HaMelech. Why are you violating? Why are you violating the mitzvah Samelech? They don't say, why aren't you giving kavod to Haman? Why are you violating? So the Eben Ezra already asks, why did Mordechai do this? We're not going to get to such the halachic elements. Hine yish l'shol l'mehichnes Mordechai atzma b'sakana. Gam hichnes kol Yisrael, right? What would we have thought about Mordechai at that time? Everyone else was able to bow down. He did it. He's putting everybody into sakana. Hayaroi shi adaber l'Esther. Why didn't he probably talk to Esther? V'tesirena b'shar ha-melech. What, he had to be in the shar ha-melech? Talk to Esther, he could get removed from the shar ha-melech, so nobody would see. V'lo yachis es Haman. Achas harosh ha-shar m'sacheches lo. So he won't get Haman angry. He wasn't able to move. He would be risking his life by leaving. He wasn't allowed to leave. So the Eben Ezra says that he had to stay there, and therefore he had to not bow down. The Talmud Dikra explains, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, that there was a tremendous Chil Hashem involved. The Medrash tells us also the same by Hanan Mishal Vazaria. They went to ask a question. They went to ask Yechezkel, you know, what should we do, when they were supposed to bow down to the idol, I think in Parag Gimel of Daniel. And Yechezkel said, run away, run away. And he didn't run away. They didn't run away. Why? Because of the potential Chil Hashem. The Medrash says in Shir Shirim Rava that every nation was represented. So the Jews that were going to be represented, they would bow down. And Hanan Mishal Vazaria would run away. Link about the Chil Hashem, says the Talmud Dikra. Shachashu l'chil Hashem shahamon am lo yadu shem nishtam tu misham. V'yomru shagam Yisrael ishtachu l'avod azara. V'zeh Chil Hashem l'chein ratzu yosir tov l'kadesh Hashem. Af agav sheyeh hargu shalkal panim yisparsim sheyisolim ishtachu l'avod azara. At least people will know that Jews don't bow down to the avod azara. V'yesh lomer shazeh gam kein tam Mordechai. T'kinireh avdi amelach hayu mikol ha'umos. U'mordechai hayim amuneh. Sham mi Yisrael. He was the leader of the Jewish people. And therefore, if he would be Mishtameit, there would be a tremendous Chil Hashem, because they would think that all the nations, there was no nation that didn't bow down, they wouldn't realize that he would be away. And therefore, he felt it was a tremendous Chil Hashem. Again, big discussions in the halachic realm. Was it real about Azor or not real? Was he putting everybody else's life in danger? But that's a big discussion on this parak. Vayehi kamrav elav yom yom lo sham aleim. Every day they spoke to him, why are you doing this? And he did not listen. He didn't listen. I'm not bowing down. Vayagidu l'Haman. It was told to Haman. What do you mean it was told to Haman? Right? He was such a Baal Gaiva, he didn't even recognize. He just walked through the street with his nose in the air. He didn't think about who was bowing, who was not bowing. He didn't notice that one little Jew wasn't bowing. So they told him. Vayagidu l'Haman l'ros hayam du divrei Mordechai. They told him, Chazal, the Gemara says, it wasn't that they loved Haman, but it's just that, it wasn't that they hated Mordechai, but they didn't like Haman. They wanted to see if this Mordechai could stand up to Haman. Hayam du divrei Mordechai. Well, Mordechai's words, right, as Rashi quotes, that he said, Lo yechav al ishtachaveh, would that stand up? Ki higil hem asher hu Yehudi. Because they told him, he told them that he was a Jew. The pashas is that Mordechai told them that he, Mordechai, was a Jew. Rav Nevinzal quotes a fascinating suggestion. Rav Nevinzal says here that we know, the Gemara tells us that Haman was really the Eved, earlier was the Eved of Mordechai. So if he was the Eved of Mordechai, the Eved Kenani of Mordechai, so then Mela, he's a Mixas Jew. So they told, the Mordechai told them that he, Haman, was a Jew. And that made him very angry. That's what he quotes from the Manas Halevi, Rav Shlomo Alkavitz. She'era kavana she Mordechai omar latzmo shehu Yehudi. El amar zos al Haman. Shekiva shamar chazal shah Haman mochar etatzmo levig Mordechai. As it says in the Yalkut Shimoni, Nimsa shu evit kenani, ve evit kenani hari hu Yehudi. Ve'nismali Haman chema, al mashigilu Mordechai alav, asher hu Yehudi. That Haman was a Yehudi. Vayar Haman kiye Mordechai korea mishtacha velo. He saw that Mordechai wasn't bowing down low to him. What's to him? To emphasize, again, Rav Nevinzal says, maybe he thought he was just an old man, and therefore he wouldn't bow down. But he saw he was bowing down when he davened. So lo, he saw he wasn't bowing down to him. Kashero, Haman's Mordechai betfilaso, korei lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im kein alo yachalu lechroa. V'rak lo eno korei mishtachave alzos vayimalei Haman chema. He got very angry. Vayivas beina, but it was beneath him, as all Jew haters in history, right? They take one Jew and they blame the entire Jewish people. Vayivas beina v'lishloch yad b'Mordechai levado. We didn't want to just do something to Mordechai. Ki higidu lo as am Mordechai, because they found out, they told him who the am Mordechai was. Vayivakesh Haman lahashmid es kol hayudim asher b'chol malchus achashverosh am Mordechai. Right? It all started with Mordechai, but it wouldn't be politically correct, or it was just anti-Semitism. So he said, "I'm going to take it out on the entire Jewish people." B'chodesh Arishon u'chodesh Nisan. So it was the first month. It was in Nisan. B'shnas Shteim Esrei l'Malach Achashverosh. 5 years after Esther became queen, in the 12th year of Achashverosh, it was Nisan. What did he do? He Pilpur. He didn't know. Maybe he would have wanted to kill the Jews the next day and a week from now. Instead, he did a gorol. He let things go to the elements. He pulpur the zalos, who are gorol lifnei Haman. Obviously, the name, we'll talk about this in a couple of prakam also. The name Purim comes from pur, from this. Lifnei Haman, mi yom li yom, mi chodesh to chodesh, what day, what month? Shneimasar hu chodesh Adar. And it ends up being chodesh Adar, as we'll see, the 13th of chodesh Adar. Why Adar? So the Ebn Ezra here quotes the three different pshatim. Number one, he says, Yesh Omrim, he quotes, Adar worked out and he was happy, because that was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. Ne'asaf alamab Moshe Adonenu, and as the Gemara says, he didn't know that Moshe was also born in Adar. The Acher Mamru Bavur Chibor El Yonah B'Mazel Gedi Shu Shtei Masel Mazel Deli Shu Mazel Yisrael, something with the zodiac. Va'Nachon Shekin Yatzah B'Garolo Kibi Hashem Mishpato. Hashem had it. Hashem wanted it to be in Adar. Va'Hashem Erech Hazman. Why? It was the furthest. He was in Nisan, so it was 12 months later in Adar. Hashem did this Achiyasu Yisrael Tshuva V'Yimlatu, until to give them time to do tshuva and to be saved. That's where Adar comes in, but he was Mapil Pur. Rev Soloveitchik, in Reflections of the Rav in the first volume, has a whole article about this, where he talks about Purim and Yom Kippurim, and he talks about the Gorol captures. Right? We also have a Gorol on Yom Kippur. Right? We have the Seir LaZazel and the Seir LaShem. That's also a Gorol. Why? It's to emphasize the fact that human beings, we are so subject to the elements. Right, subject to the elements, and awareness of our uncertainty. Purim and Yom Kippur are also alike in another respect. Both involve the casting of a gorol, a characteristic of games of chance. For the Purim gorol, the date chosen by Haman for the destruction of the Jews. The Megillah is a book of contradictions. Theologically, God forgives man's sinfulness precisely because he acknowledges human vulnerability to changing fortunes, pressing circumstances, and the intrusion of the unexpected. Right, we're human. We're subject to the elements. That's the gorol of life. The gorol, so much out of our hands. Man's susceptibility to accidental turns of fortune is not necessarily a tragic condition. It could also be the source of ethical virtues and nobility of human character. An awareness of one's vulnerability induces humility, which dispels arrogance and pride. Right? Humility, right? The fact that we realize that we're not in charge. Right? We realize that Kodesh Baruch Hu is in charge. And there are no accidents. And that's where gorol and Purim, that's the whole essence of Purim. He thought it was Purim, accident and chance. But really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pulling the strings of this gorol. Obviously, there's so much to say about this, but that's what was captured in Pur. So let's read the psukim. B'chazal darshan, every phrase. There's a nation that is all over scattered. And their religion is different. They don't follow the laws of the king. It's not worth it. So again, does he give a reason that they should die? They should be exterminated? No. But this is what our enemies do. They kind of like, don't worry about the specific details about us. Not really a reason to kill them, but it's good enough, and let's get rid of them. But if you look in the Gemara here, and you'd give them a base, they darshan what the conversation is going on between Achashverosh and Haman. Yeshno am echad, amar Rava, leka diyada lishna bishaka Haman. There's no greater Baal Lashonara than Haman. Guess also, there was one, Doeg, the Gemara also says, was pretty good. Omar le tanech linu, Haman says, let's destroy them. Omar le Achashverosh says, mistafina me'alokav, delo levid bey, kedavid bekamoy. I don't want him to do, I don't want their God to do what he did to Baal Shitzah, right? My father-in-law. Omar le yeshno min ha-mitzvos, they're sleeping from the mitzvos. Right? Therefore, they don't have any zchuyos anymore. Right? Yeshno, from the word yashan. Amar le Isbu Rabbanu, what about the rabbis? Amar le Am Echadim, they're all connected to each other, and Arvus. Shema Tomar Karchani Ose Malchusecha, right? Maybe if I destroy them, there's going to be a spot in my kingdom that's barren. Mufuzarin Heim Bein Amim. No, they're scattered amongst the nations. Nobody will notice. Shema Tomar Is Hana Minayu, you think you get Hana from them. Maybe they support the economy. Miforad. Kepredizu, they're like a mule. Sheinos Aperos. They don't produce anything. Beshema Tomar Ikem Adinsa Minayu. Aye, maybe there's a Medina from them. Bechol Medinos Malchusecha. Vidaseim Shonos Becholam, their religion. Delo Achli Minon, Velo Nasu Minon, Velo Mitsu Minon. We don't marry them. They don't eat our food. They have holidays all the time. And they have to take off from work. They make fun of us. What do you mean? If a bug falls into their wine, into their soup, they just throw out the bug and they drink the wine. But if you, king, you touch their wine, they'll spill it out and they won't drink it. Imal HaMelech Tov, and if it's good in the king, let's just read it because we already have the Gemara open. Yikasev La'abdom, Baseres Alafim Kikrei Kesef. Please, destroy them. Give me the permission, and I'll pay you for it. Amar Eishlagash Galui V'yadu L'fnei Misha Amar V'haya Ha'olam. Hashem Nu Sha'asad Amon Lishkol Shkalam Al Yisrael. That Haman was going to weigh out money. L'ficha Chiktim Shekleyan L'shiklov. That's why Hashem first gave the mitzvah of machzor hashekel before that. So back to here. Mefuzar u'mefora. The Klei Yakar in the end of Bishalach says, Mefuzar, Mefora, and Mefuzar, we were separated from each other. Mefurad, we were separated from Hashem. And we were separated, Bein Ha'amim, and we're different from all the other nations. Right? Interesting. Rabbi Lam says, all these things that Haman said, and we're different, and we don't marry, and we don't eat, and we this and that. You know what we answer to them? Guilty as charged. We answer Haman, we answer all the anti-Semites throughout the world, right? The wretched Haman's conclusions may be vile exaggerations and misleading, but in essence what he says is right. Woe to the Jew who seeks to be absolved of Haman's indictment. The Yalkut says right here, everything that he wanted to do, he wanted to told about us. Michal HaMalach brought that up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. And in that way, I'll read the line of the Medrash. The Medrash says, Am Rebbe Levi. Exactly what he was saying. Yes, Hashem, they're keeping your words. They're keeping the dinim. They're not violating. The angel presented these very anti-Semitic charges as proof that Israel had retained its spiritual independence and its moral integrity. The very charges of Haman are the demonstrations of Israel's loyalty to its spiritual vocation. What the king of Persia sees as a criminal charge to the king of the universe is a lofty compliment. Not heinous, but holy. Not sinister, but sublime. And that's what Haman said. Haman wanted to get us in trouble, but those exact reasons are why Hashem loves us. So Haman continues, Im al-Melech tov, yikasiv la'abdam. If it works out for the king, please, yikasiv la'abdam, make sure that they are written down to be destroyed. I'll get the money to bring it to the treasure house of the king. There's also a remez here. The Mishpat Zozov points out on page Tzadi Zion. Mishpat Zozov says maybe there's a remez here to in Bris Mila. We say we know the Harachmans in the Bris Mila. One of the Harachmans that we say at the end is Harachman Yishlach Lanu Meshicha Holech Tamim Bischus Chatan Lemlos Damim Levaser Bisaros Tavos Venichumim La'am Echad Mefuzar Meforan Mibein Ha'amim. So we take Haman's Lashon and we put it into one of the Harachmans. What does that show? It says because of Kodesh Baruch Hu, we keep the Bris and we do exactly what you ask. So therefore, we take Haman's words and use it. Just a raya that is a schus for us. Maybe that's why he also says what we see later on. La'ehudim Maisa Ora V'Simcha V'Sasam Vikar, and one of those words is a reference to Mila, as we'll see. So maybe that's a reference here to here too. Good, let's continue. Says the Gemara, Ma'al HaMelech Tov Yikazil Adam, Vaseres Alafim Kikar Kesef Eshkol Eidei Ozi Malacha, Vayasra HaMelech Es Tabato Me'al Yado. The king takes off his ring, takes off the ring, and gives it. The Gemara tells us, Megillah Yedalad, Vayasra HaMelech Es Tabato, Amar Rabbi Yava Bar Kana, Gedola Hasaras Tabas, that taking off of the ring did more to get Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva, Yoser Me'arboam V'shmona Nevi'im V'shem Nevi'os, more than the 48 Nevi'im and the 7 Nevi'os that told us to do better, right? Just taking off the ring. Meaning when we have tsaris, that's when we do better. The removal, right? Mutav, Rashi there, Megillah Yudalin. Shagazro Lan Tanios, Lachuva, Kidachit Somu Vachim is paid, Sakva Efer, Yutzala Rabim. All the Tshuva movement that took place from this Pasuk. Again, that's what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted us to do Tshuva. That's why he made it so long until the Gzeira. There was almost a year. But again, the whole story was going to happen just in a few days right now within Nisan, as we will see. It happened in Nisan. It was done. At least the first part of the story with Haman was done very quickly. Vayasar Melechas Tabatos, he took off his ring. Vayitzna Lahaman ben Amdaso Agagi, Sora HaYehudim, he gave it to the enemy of the Jews, Haman. The king says, you know what? Keep the money. The Medrash says, when you keep the money, because he hated the Jews just as much as Haman did. Even though, interestingly, in the Psukim, it doesn't even say the Jews. He didn't even describe which nation it was. So again, that's why the Gemara says, maybe he was just a fool, Achashverosh. He didn't even ask which nation, he just said could be obliterated. And if he knew, then he was just a Russia. So either way, he does keep the money. Do whatever you want with the nation. So what happened on the 13th day of the first month, right, 2 days before Pesach, right? That's when this happened, and then they were going to fast on Pesach. Everything was going to happen very quickly in Nisan. And it was written down everything that Haman said. He wrote it in every single language that went to all the provinces, so nobody can misunderstand what it said. And he didn't even say anything about Haman. It just said in the name of Achashverosh. Haman didn't want to take any of the, you know, the PR blame. V'nechtam b'tabas ha-melech, and it was signed. V'nishloch svarim b'rad ha-ratzim el-chom b'dinos ha-melech. They went out quickly. L'hashpid la'arug la'abed, it's called Yehudim. They went out very quickly to all of the provinces. Some of Farshim explained there were really two letters. There were letters that went out to the heads, to the offices, exactly what was going to be, and to the Hamon Am, a more general letter that something was going to happen the following year, the 13th of Adar, be ready, without saying specifically. And that made it even worse that people were just confused that the last word of the parak says, as we'll get to in a second. So, to kill all of the Jews, Minar Badzakin, Tafanashim Yom Echad, Bishloshazar, the Chodesh Demasar, Hu Chodesh Adar, the 13th day of Adar, which is Tainus Esther in our day, Ushlalam Lavos, and take their spoils. Pascheganaksav. That's the more it was written, this was the more general letter. Linasin Das, Machal Medina, Medina, Galui Lachalamim. Be ready for this. Be ready for this day. And what happened? They went out very quickly. Why did they go out so quickly? So the Manas Halevi says that they went out quickly because he didn't want Achashverosh to change his mind. Look at the time of the Kra, the Rechaim Knievsky suggests that maybe he knew Pesach was coming. He wanted them to have a terrible Yantif. He wanted to remove from them Simchas Yantif. And therefore he sent it out quickly before the holiday. So Am Yasu Duchuf, Aratzim Yasu Duchufim, Bedvar Melech, Vatnat Nitna B'Shushan Abira. And the rule was given in Shushan. Vamelech Va'am Yashvilishtos. And what did they do? They went to drink. Right? This is like what many times our enemies have done. They decide and they have come up with a plan to kill us, and then they go and have a party. Right? Some point out that the 1940, where the Nazis got together, and then they had a party in Wannsee, and they had a party for the final solution. Right? We have lahefech, lahavdil, the opposite. When Bezin puts somebody to death, Rachman al-Islam, they're not allowed to eat that day. No, he has to pain them, even there. They went to drink, and the city was Navocha. So Navocha might mean mourning, but we'll get to that. It doesn't say that. Navocha means confused. That's what Navocha. So why were they confused? So Rav Soloveitchik writes in the Reflections of the Rav, but also Rabbi Lam writes beautifully that a Jew believes in the Tzelem Elokim of his fellow human being. We always believe in the Tzelem Elokim of every human being. And they were incredulous that here, this is what could happen, the evil someone can come to. So Rabbi Lam quotes his Rabbi Soloveitchik. The source of this naivete in the great Jewish faith, that man was created in the image of Hashem. This sublime principle led Jews to delude themselves into believing that therefore man is, because everybody is Tzelem Elokim, man is incapable of senseless evil, of cruelty, of absurd atrocities, of irrational malice. But creation in the image of God only means that man has a capacity for good. The potential of moral heroism and saintliness. It doesn't mean that will do good. It means they can do good. But it can also mean the opposite. It does not mean that left to his own resource, man will do the right thing. As we know throughout history, many times people have acted more like animals than people. And when this happens, often the first victim is the Jew, Rachmana Litzlan. And that is why the parak ends off, that the Jews were Navocha, the Jews were confused. Because what's going on here? How could it be that this is what has come to, especially after they were just enjoying the party earlier, and they felt like Persian citizens, very proud Persian citizens, they had forgotten that the Beis HaMikdash had stopped being built, and that's why they were Navocha. And that's where the story ends, at the end of this parak.